Aussies love the way you play. You scrap like Matthew Dellavedova. You do a bit of trash talking.
No, I don't. I scrap like Patrick Beverley.
You do?
Okay. Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff from the Dallas Mavs, and I recommend you buy an NBA Australia t-shirt.
How you going? That's right, man. It is NBA Strayer. It is Thursday, October 24. I am your host, James Clements. I'm a writer, Rolling Stone, Dribble J, Junkie, Red Bull Mag, and literally anyone else who wants to pay me. That's sweet, sweet folding stuff. I'm here in Larry Armour Studios giving you the lowdown on who's doing what, where they're doing it, why they're doing it, and of course, who's doing it better than Lonzo Ball in the NBA today as we break down, wrap up every little bit of NBA action for you while wrapping Strayer just a little bit. It's just what we do, and finally, we've actually got a bit of that to do today because what it do, baby? The NBA is back properly today with an 11-game slate and a whole bunch of Aussies in action, and we had some absolute belter games, which was awesome. So that'll all be covered with the game wraps brought to you by USSportsTickets.com, as well as all the usual dumbassery. That's not a knife, old mate, no mate, spot of the night, pantsing of the evening, better than Lonzo Ball. Of course, there's yeah, nah, there's the unpopular opinion of the day, and there's our back takeouts, where we're serving up a flame grilled take. We've also got a new Kiwi Corner Brew, and we're going to finish up with a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams, and we finally get to get stuck in to the Australian Player Watch today. Had a good one too, so that's pretty cool. All right, good show for you ahead. A lot to get through. Let's get to it. It's episode 340 of NBA Australia. Let's go.
This is Matthew Dellavedova, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
Watch out for the Shaq attack.
Wah! You better. Or you better watch out for the attack of what? I don't know. Markel Fultz? Derrick Jones Jr.? Better watch out for the attack of the falling over Kyrie Irving. Ah, what a fun day this was in the NBA. And we're going to cover it all with the daily whip around. A bit of news. Before the day really popped off, we did have a bit of news about Draymond going on the Woj pod. To talk about Kevin Durant. I saw other things actually about all the Golden State Warriors stuff, which was really interesting. Bob Myers there as well. But it was weird that the story that sort of came out of was about him apologizing, being wrong to like Bob Myers and like losing faith in like the franchise or something for making him apologize, where the story about him going, oh yeah, KD pissed me off because he's a bitch, basically. It was way more of a story. Draymond said, the thing that bothered me most was that when Kevin goes to the media and says, I wasn't a part of that team, I was different from those guys, a part of him is like, nah, you were one of us, and it pisses me off. You'd say otherwise. So there you go, Draymond, in a surprise twist, being pissed at Kevin Durant. Yeah, but it's like, you know, the thing is, the rest of the show sort of goes on for Draymond to, you know, take a lot of responsibility about the communication problems and everything that team had, and like Kevin sort of not really entirely feeling like they were, he was a part of that team. So it's fascinating stuff, I guess. But you really do come out of it going, Kevin Durant, bit of a thin-skinned big girl's blouse, I reckon. Pat Beverley got compared to Dally by some Australian radio host. Didn't like it. Combination fuck you Pat Bev, but also combination dumb question. I mean, if I'm going to talk to Pat Bev, I don't lead with like, yeah, looks, a lot of people in Australia love Matty Dellavedova, and you've got the same sort of thing. He's like, you fuckhead, would you fuck off? And it's like, yeah, fair play. So, good stuff. All right, so let's get into a huge, huge day of NBA basketball with today's game wraps, as always, brought to you by USSportsTickets.com. Get around them if you're going to go to an NBA game. Shit, yes. Some fun, mate. Look, and if you'd used USSportsTickets.com to go to any of these games today, I reckon you'd be pretty happy with a lot of them. Holy moly. There's a lot of storylines going on. So let's get stuck in. Chicago visited Charlotte there, the Queen City. And Chicago played like a bunch of queens. Yeah, 126-125 Chicago. Jesus. What a shit show Chicago were. I mean, they're up 10 with 6 minutes left. Devontae Graham, Dwayne Bacon took over. There's a 15-1 scoring run over the last 4 minutes for Charlotte at one point. So yeah, Chicago, this Bulls D is fucking horrible already. They let the Hornets shoot 50%. The Hornets! The Hornets aren't going to shoot 50% for the rest of the year. And the Chicago Bulls are like, nah, we're going to win this. And then Charlotte, more power to them, went out and fuck all y'all. Look, for Chicago, Lowry, that's a girl's name, Markkanen, took a million shots. And he was taking a million shots early as well. He had 9 shots halfway through the first quarter. And to be honest, I'd do the same thing if I was Lowry, that's a girl's name, Markkanen, because the rest of this team sucks. He ends up with 35-17. We're going to talk about him again later. Wendell had 12-9. Zachy Cakes Levine. I mean, 16 points on 17 shots. 7 assists, but Jesus. His last little boneheaded move where they were down 3 with about 4 seconds left. He drives. He goes inside the 3. They don't have any timeouts, mind you. Drives to the hoop. Scores 2. There's now 4 seconds left and you have no timeouts. So, what? Cool. Now you're down 1. Like, you still need to score with no time after you foul and they probably go back up 3. I mean, what the fuck was the point of that, Zach? Jesus Christ. Anyway, Thomas Satoransky, worth that $30 million for the 1 of 5 shooting, 3 assists, 2 points. I don't know about that. Kobe White, though, he was unreal on debut, 17-7. Thad Junk Buckets Young had 17 as well. Chris Dunn wasn't horrible either. He had 11-2 with 4 steals. Not bloody bad. Otto, Electric Blotto, Porter had 3 of 10 shooting for... Oh, he was just brutal. And Zachy Cakes went 7 of 17. When you're paying a combination of Otto Porter and Zachy Cakes Levine, like $55 million or something, and they combine to shoot, 10 of 27? Yeah, not great. Charlotte, though, for their part, shot the fucking lights out thanks to that Bulls D. 23 threes they made, which is a franchise record. PJ Washington, in his first ever NBA game, hit his first shot. That was a 3. Goes 3-3 to start his career. And you're like, oh, that's not that much of a surprise. He's already 32 years old. And he ended up with 27 points on debut. 9 of 17 from the floor. 7 of 11. Thanks, Apu, from 3. Unbelievable. PJ Washington. Incredible stuff. I guess someone on Charlotte has to shoot, right? Terry Rozier had his Charlotte debut, and in typical Terry Rozier fashion, went 2 of 10 from the floor. 4 turnovers, 6 assists. Sounds about right. Cody Zeller looks like a Tulsa real estate agent, but had like 80 mammoth dunks, had 15 points and 12 rebounds. And when you're out there making Cody Zeller look like the second coming of fucking Dwight Howard, your team is shit, Chicago. Yeah. Dwayne Bacon, 22 points. He was awesome. A massive 3 late to put them up 4 that he just nicely swished in. Mav Williams had 17 in 17 minutes. He was awesome. But Devontae Graham was incredible too. 7 of 9 shooting, 6 of 7 from deep, 23 points, 8 assists. Incredible game from him. Incredible game from Dwayne Bacon. Incredible game from PJ Washington. Charlotte smoked the Bulls. They're now 1-0. Bulls 0-1. Bulls, you should be fucking ashamed of yourself. I don't think the Hornets are going to win another like 15 games this season. And the Bulls just got just demoralizingly stomped by them. Anyway, speaking of demoralizing, Detroit beat Indy in Indy, 119-110. This was a shocker as well. In very similar fashion as well, Indy were up and then just shit the bed. So we had 2 big shitting the bed games early on. Detroit went on a 13-2 run late to get up, 22-9 run to finish the game. For Indy, Suva, the Suvlaki King, Domantas Sabonis. Oh, yeah, just combination meat. Thanks, Domantas. Yeah, easy on the tomato. Bit of extra garlic sauce. Cheers, mate. 27 points, 13 rebounds, 2 assists. Also an air ball down 5 with 2 minutes left. That was brutal from the $77 million man. Oh, 1 from deep, and that was it. 10 points for Sleepy Eyes, Jeremy Lamb, TJ McConnell. TJ Warren. They got a lot of TJs on this fucking game, on this team, Indy. It seems like a very Indiana kind of name as well. Hey, who's this guy? TJ. Who's this other guy? He's my other mate, TJ. Who's that? Ask my dad. What's his name? TJ. Just a lot of fucking TJs. He left. He had 10 as well, but left hurt late. El Presidente, Malcolm Brogdon, had a good Indy debut. 22 points, 11 assists. Didn't shoot great, though. Miles Turner, though, had a pretty good one. 25-9 with 3 blocks. But damn, Detroit crushed it. Shot 52% from the floor. And it was all to do with their big three. Oh, but Jimmy, Blake Griffin wasn't playing. Yeah, I know. And Reggie Jackson only had 5 and 5. Yeah, I know, mate. Meanwhile, Andre bloody Drummond had 32 and 23 on 12 of 18 shooting. And the Duck Man, Luke Kennard, quack, quack, went absolutely fucking spare for 30 points. 8 of 13 from the floor and 6 of 9. Nice. From 3, he was incredible. And D-Rose, 18 points, 9 assists. Absolutely wild scenes there in Indy. So there you go. Detroit came out of nowhere. The Duckman, Luke Kennard, dropping bombs, putting the hammer down in the fourth quarter. Absolutely insane scenes. We're going to talk about these guys a little bit later, but do you reckon Blake Griffin was holding Luke Kennard back, the Duckman? Holy shit. Anyway, Indy, obviously 0-1. Detroit, 1-0. What do you reckon there, Stephen A. Smith?
Cleveland!
That's right. How did Cleveland go? Yeah, 85-94 in a surprise result. Not at all. Orlando win that one, 94-85. I mean, Kevin Love was 11 points, 18 rebounds. Sure, the sex man, Colin Sexton, and Darius, the first man born in the thousands to play in the NBA. Yeah, they didn't look great, did they? Look, Darius, 8 points, 5 assists, 3 of 9 shooting. The sex man, 16 points, 16 and 11 for Cheat and Tristan Thompson. We'll talk about Dally later, but yeah, not a great one. Orlando, they held the Cavs to 37% shooting, which is, when we say we hold the Cavs to 30% shooting, it's more like, you know, you held your little brother to only scoring 4 runs in backyard cricket or something. And that was because he edged it and you didn't want to give him out straight away. Yeah. Vooch had 21-9. Markelle Fultz was pretty okay. 12 points, 6 of 12 shooting, 6 assists as well. Took 3 threes and had an absolutely fucking brutal tomahawk dunk. That was pretty great. I don't know. There wasn't a lot to really recommend this one. Terrence Ross had 10 on 13 shots. Johnny Isaac sort of stunk it up. Evan Fournier, don't Google me, 16-4-3. Cavs 0-1. Magic 1-0. You'll take that if you're Orlando. And we're going to talk about Markel later. The big game early was Philly hosting Boston. This was a rip snorter of a game. And then Philly just sort of gave him the old clamps there and ran away with it in the second half. For Boston, Gordo, Maga, Hayward. Yeah, fucking. Looked good. 8 of 15, 25, 5 and 2 for him. Jason Tatum also looked pretty good. Stymied at times, though, by the length of the Sixers. Ended up with a Kobe-esque 8 of 22. Kobe! But ends up with 21 points, 10 rebounds, 4 turnovers, and 2 assists. That's a classic Tatum line. Jaylen Brown, the $110 million man, 8 points, 7 rebounds, minus 12. Kemba, 12 points, 4 of 18 shooting, 1 of 6 from downtown. But I thought no one on the Sixers could guard small, quick point guards. No one on the Sixers would be able to do it. That's why Boston is so much better than Phil. Fuck off. Yeah, look, Kemba, small, quick point guard. Try getting around fucking Josh Richardson and Ben Simmons. That's what happens. 4 of 18. Kanter at 12 and 6. And Boston are very quickly realizing that having Enes Kanter on your team does not mean you have a, defensive-minded team. Yeah, the bench went 5 of 21, 1 of 9 from downtown as well for Boston. Actually, both these teams shot like shit from downtown, but Philly out-rebounded them 62-41. And Boston were very quickly like, oh shit, Grant Williams, Robert Time Lord Williams, Daniel Tice. And it was pretty funny hearing Hubie talk about Daniel. He's a good rebounder. It's like, has Hubie seen Daniel Tice play? And every time I've seen Boston basically play preseason and now, just makes me fucking sit there and go, without Aaron Baines, this team has no spine. Yeah. Anyway, Philly, look, all their starters are in double figures. They shot like shit from three, as I mentioned, 7 of 29. But Big Simo, Ben Simmons was awesome. 24, 9 and 8 for him, 11 of 16. He was unreal. All 16 shots came in the paint. And there's a really great stat brought up by Ben Malice in the Palace on Twitter about how Simo's only averaged 6.7 field goal attempts in inside the paint, basically inside 5 feet against Boston. He had more than double that, obviously, today. And with Baines, without Baines in the paint there guarding it, and Horford as well being on his fucking team now, suddenly a lot more space for Simo to drive to the rim against Boston. Gotta like that if you're Philly. Joel Embiid at 15-3 with 3 blocks in only 23 minutes. You gotta love that as well if you're Philly. Don't need him playing 30. Average Al Horford, 16-2-3. The big fellas combined to shoot 10 of 29, but didn't really matter. Josh Richo Richardson, 17 points. 4 of 12, 0 of 4 from downtown. Shrug emoji, though. Tobias the Never-Nude Harris, he was all right. 15-4. Was shooting pretty great. Matisse Thybulle looked fucking awesome. Didn't shoot great, but whatever. He looked incredible. Ennis Scott and fucking Thurkan Korkmaz did enough too. The shots will drop for Boston a little bit better, but same with Philly, I dare say. And they looked very nice with Embiid and Horford. A lot of space there on that team now. Celtics now 0-1. Sixers obviously 1-0. Memphis went into Miami, and this was a really interestingly tight game. Until Miami just went, all right, fuck it, in the last quarter, and that was your basic margin. 37-17 in the last quarter. Miami went absolutely spare. Justice Winslow was incredible, but for Memphis, look, they shot 5 of 32 from downtown, which is 15%. Ja Morant, my pick for Rookie of the Year, 14-4-4 in 25 minutes. Looked fine. A couple of bad decisions here and there, but otherwise like him. Triple J, Jaren Jackson Jr., 17-3. 13 for Jay Crowder, whatever. My name is Jonas Valanciunas, 7-1-1-1. Look, blech. Look, Miami just really sort of let Memphis hang around and then just gave him the old 1-2 Costa Zoo. Winslow, as mentioned, was massive. 27-7-7, the old LeBron James. Nunn had 24 points on 10 of 18 shooting. That was pretty great. But bam, Adebayo had 14-11. He was great. 19 for Goran the Flog. And everybody's favorite new Miami Heat, because Jimmy Butler was ruled out of this game just before it tipped off due to personal reasons. And Tyler Hero was the hero that Miami didn't deserve, but what they needed, I guess. 14 points, 8 rebounds. He was really good. Grizz 0-1, Heat 1-0. And speaking of really fun games, like, you know, Philly-Boston was awesome. Detroit-Indy was a bit of a fucking crazy one. Charlotte-Chicago was good. And then we had bloody the Mitch Creek Cup. That's right, the Creaky Cup. Minnesota versus Brooklyn. Mitch Creek, the Horsham Hammer himself, the Creek Freak Cup. He played for both these teams last year. Minnesota win at 127-126 in overtime, but this was a fun-ass game, wasn't it? Kyrie was massive. Has a 50-piece. Unbelievable. Hit a massive three to put them up. That was answered by big Carl Anthony Towns. He had a huge game. Jared Allen missed a couple of free throws to seal the game. Wiggins missed a three at the end of regulation. Back and forth in overtime. Big buckets from Kyrie and Joe Harris. But Wigo had a shit game and then just couldn't stop scoring in the overtime. It was crazy. And Kyrie fell over in the last possession. Still nearly hit the shot, which was absolutely absurd. But yeah, 50-piece from Kyrie. Only second Brooklyn player to do it. There's been other New Jersey Nets in the past, but he and Deron Williams are the only Brooklyn players to do it. Incredible, though. Huge game from Kyrie. Still, they lose. What are you going to do? He had 50, 17-33. Way to introduce yourself. Just that step back three. He had a couple of amazing ones. Just fuck you. 7-14 from deep. Zero turnovers, which is massive, I think, too. My sweet baby Carrots. Caris LeVerde had 20 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 steals. 9 of 19 shooting, though. Feel like they could have gone to him a little bit more late, but there's a lot of Taurine the Red Bull Prince for my liking. Yeah, he and Kyrie, a bit of two-man game. I would have much rather have seen a bit more Carrots. 15-11, though, for Taurine the Red Bull Prince. Just doing a very good Damari Carroll impersonation. 14 points for Spencer Dinwiddie off the bench. Joe Harris had 14 on 4 of 6 shooting from downtown. And DeAndre Jordan, look, if the Nets have to pay Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving tax, that's fine. But 4 years, $40 million for DeAndre Jordan, rather the corpse of DeAndre Jordan, is a pretty fucking steep price to pay. 17 minutes, 2 points, 3 rebounds, 4 fouls. Fucking hell, $40 million. Anyway, Minnesota, the big cat, Carl Anthony Towns, he was unbloody real. 36-14, 3 assists, 3 steals, 3 blocks, 7 of 11 from downtown. He is remarkable. Wigo, as mentioned, took over in the overtime. He had 21-8, but that came on 10 of 27 shooting. But put him on his back and brought him home. El Jefe, Teague, he had 14-4. Covington, 15-9. Jake, not a layman, had 10. Okogie, 11. Shabazz Napier, revenge game with 5-7. Nets, 0-1, heartbreaker. And Wolves, 1-0. Washington lost in Dallas. Dallas looked amazing. Washington looked as shit as we all expected. 108-100. Brad Beal was went to 19-6-9. Nice. 7 of 25 shooting, though. 1 of 11 from downtown. Goal. And then got booted. thanks to a double tech on him and Luka, which is pretty funny. Rui Hachimura at 14 and 10. Japanese Jordan, love that. Tommy, not Kobe. Bryant had 14 and 11, but wowed as Washington fucking stink. Dallas shot 46%. Luka Doncic, 34 points, 12 of 19 from the floor. He was unbelievable. 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 steals, and of course, look, I said it. Love it. It was an extreme zinger meal.
Extreme zinger meal.
Fuck yeah. Extreme zinger meal. That's 23 points, 4 rebounds, 3 of 7 from downtown. Is that the supercharged zinger?
Supercharged zinger burger.
It was a supercharged zinger burger. The bench did a bit of damage, I guess. Needed more rowdy. They only went 3 of 15 from downtown, did the Dallas bench. He didn't dress. Tim Hardaway the lesser. I'll tell you, man, if ever the idea of like good stats, bad team guy existed, it's fucking Tim Hardaway Jr. 2 of 7 from the floor, 0 of 5 from 3. If rowdy Ryan Brockhoff had that sort of a green light that Tim Hardaway Jr. does, he'd average 25 a fucking game. Efficiently. Just saying. Anyway, look, Justin Jackson had 10, Dorial Finney-Smith 2 as well, Brunson 9, Seth the Shitone Curry 9 too. So the Dallas, you know, the bench and the rest of the role players really sort of filled in the gaps around Luka and the Zinger. You would have liked to have seen someone just pop a little bit more though. Anyway, Mavs get the win there, 1-0, Wiz 0-1. It's going to be a long season there in Washington. Speaking of long seasons, the New York Knickerbockers of New York City. Look, they were in this game and actually leading at parts against the San Antonio Spurs of San Antonio, Texas. 121-11, Spurs end up winning. Marcus Morris is apparently powered by spurned Spurs fans' tears. Yeah, 9 of 18 he went for 26 points. He looked incredible early. But the Spurs just gave him the old clamps and all that way they went. The crazy part was the Knicks played about 87 of their power forwards. They had fighting Bobby Portis. He had 8, 7, and 5. Julius Randle had a great game. 25, 11, and 6. RJ fucking Barrett, though. What an absolute ball tear of a debut. 21 points, 9 of 13 shooting. He was unreal. Wow. Dennis Smith Jr., though. 2 points, 1 of 4 shooting in 10 minutes. Frankie Smokes, 0 points in 3 minutes. I don't know what it is. The Knicks have got a giant boner for power forwards, and then they roster about 87 point guards and don't know what the fuck to do with them. Alfred Payton played 26 minutes. He had 11 points, 8 assists, and 5 steals, was a plus 14. Kevin Knox came off the bench, 13 points as well. They're just such a shit show. It kills me. Anyway, the Spurs, LaMarcus Aldridge had 22 and 8. DeRozan there went and shot 3 of 10 for 13 points. But it was really, DeJounte Murray was unbloody real. 18 points, 8 rebounds, 6 assists. Your mum's best mate, Bryn Forbes, that is, 20. He was good. Rudy Gay, 13 and 6. And Derek Deza White, 9 and 3. We'll talk about Patty Mills in the Australian Player Watch. But there you go. Spurs just do the Spurs job. 1-0 they are. Knicks 0-1. OKC went into Utah. And Utah won 100 to 95. Great fun game, though. Talk about fun games all day. OKC, sneaky good. CP3 had 22, 8, and 3. Only 3 assists. The leader for OKC was Schroeder with 4 assists, team high. Schroeder, though, German Rondo, went 1 of 8 from the floor. And so did Steven Adams, bro. Rough one. Danilo Gallinari, 21 and 7. Love the Rooster. And Shai Redder, he's going to be a problem. 26 points. He was unreal. Donovan fucking Mitchell, though, took over late for the Yaz. He was absolutely unreal. 32 points, 12 rebounds. Shot 14 of 22, and that's always been a big knock on Donovan Mitchell. His last mid-range shot was very, very nice. Bojan Bogdanovic twisted an ankle, but still had 16. The Stifles Tower, Rudy Gobert, 17 points. 7 points and 14 rebounds. Mike Conley had a debut for the Yaz to forget. 1 of 16. Gold! But Manny Moutier, 12 points. Jingles off the bench. He had 7. We'll talk about him later. Look, the Jazz shot 6 of 24 from 3 and 1, so you'll take that. You know, bit of an off night for Jingles and Bojan and obviously Mike Conley, but Jesus. Anyway, Thunder 0-1, Jazz 1-0. Two more to go. Phoenix and Sacramento. Can you believe this game? Phoenix 124, Sacramento 95. What? Yep, well, Sacramento had 26 turnovers. That'll do it. 39% shooting from the floor. Buddy Hield had 22 points in the first half, finished with 28. That was a rough one. 10 of 19. Hey, I don't know, Luke Walton, maybe feed Buddy Hield, just saying. 6 of 12 from downtown, didn't add to that after the half. De'Aaron Fox only played 27 minutes. 3-7 shooting for him, 8 points, 5 assists, 5 turnovers. Ooh, Marvy Bagges had 14 and 10. Black Falcon Harrison Barnes, 12 and 6 for him, 4 turnovers. Trevor Ariza's veteran presence, 2 of 5 shooting, excellent. Bogdan stunk, Bally Belita stunk, they all stunk. Phoenix, meanwhile, holy moly, 124 points. Absolutely crushed. He got Monty Williams, his first win as Phoenix coach. Absolutely smoked it. So good on him. Devo Booker had 22 points, 10 of 17 shooting and 10 assists. Rubio had an 11.11 assist night. DeAndre Ayton had 18 and 11 rebounds with 4 blocks. Kelly Oubre had 21 points and 9 rebounds. I mean, it was just everybody doing good shit. The homie Dario Saric had 7 on 7 shots, 11 for Jevion Carter. Tyler Johnson had 10. Bangers! Aaron Baines, though. This is what happens when you have Aaron Baines on your team. The Celtics, you might notice, are now 0-1 without Aaron Baines. The Phoenix Suns are 1-0 with Aaron Baines. It's just fucking simple maths. And I hate maths. There you go. 2-3 field goals for Bangers. He was good. Talk about him in the Australian Player Watch. Kings, 0-1. Suns, 1-0. Absolute scenes. Hilarious stuff. Good job, Phoenix. All right. And final game of the night, it was the Denver Nuggets going into Portland and causing the Portland Trailblazers to lose in their home opener for the first time since 2001, which is absolutely crazy. The craziest part was Nikola Jokic, hello, had like 3 extremely quick, like I'm talking the first 4 minutes of the actual game. And basically picked up the third one as he was subbing out. And then went the rest of the game only picking up one more foul. Ends up with 20 points and 13 rebounds. But anyway, the Blazers in a losing effort, 108-100. Dame Lillard, 10 of 21, 3 of 10 for him. 32 points, 8 assists. He was awesome. And then you have these moments where you're like, ah, CJ McCollum can't hit the side of a fucking barn tonight. God damn, 5 of 18, he ends up with 12 points. Anytime you can score 12 points and 18 shots, you got to do it. 16 and 19 for Hassan Whiteside. Looked good at times. 2 blocks as well. 4 turnovers, however. They had 20 as a team. And this is the Hassan Whiteside experience. You're like, 16 and 19 with 2 blocks. That's pretty good. And then, like, there's also missed closeouts. There's Jokic just fucking pummeling them in the second half. And you're like, oh, yeah. So we've got him. A couple of nice numbers here and there. But why do we lose these games? Zachy Cakes Colony had 8 and 5 with 2 blocks as well. Rodney Spud Hood had 13. Not a lot of help off the bench though. Tolliver and Super Mario. Nice. Combined to go 0 of 4. Tolliver was gunning for a 3. I think it was at the end of the first half. Missed it and it was just pretty deflating. 8 points for Scale Labissier with 6 rebounds as well. Anthony Simons had a couple of moments where you're like, oh shit, here we go. 5 points, 2 of 7 shooting. And Kent Bazemore, I mentioned in the Portland Trailblazers preview a couple of days ago, people really get worked up about Kent Bazemore. I tend to think he's fucking shit. 1 of 7 tonight, 4 points, 0 of 3. They keep bringing up this idea of 3 and D wing. I mean, anybody who plays on a wing is like theoretically a 3 and D wing, but they have to hit threes and also play defense to really be a 3 and D wing. Of which Bazemore does neither. So what the fuck are we doing here? Anyway, as a team, as mentioned, 20 turnovers, 7 of 28 shooting from downtown. Not great. But on the flip side, Denver. Man, did Jokic just come alive. 20 and 13 he ends up, as mentioned. Absolutely wild scenes after his foul-ridden start. Jam and Jamal Murray had 14 points on 4 of 14 shooting. Not great. 6 assists, though. Took a big knock to his arm, too. Paul Thrillsap at 11 and 5. Will the Thrill Barton, 19 and 5. And Gary the Dartsman Harris, a rough one. 8 points on 11 shots, 1 of 5 shooting. But look, they just had enough. Jeremy Grant, Mason Plumlee, Beasley, Monty Morris, Torrey Craig. There was just like solid contributions across the board. And Denver shoot 18 of 32 from downtown. And that's what did it. Absolutely smoked the Blazers, who obviously only hit 7. So that'll win you a game. And the fact when they had, you know, a 35-26 fourth quarter, Nuggets, they win. All right, there you go. There are the game wraps. We will be back in a second with some NBA Stray rewards for today's slate and some other fun shit right after, let's say, this one.
Hi, this is Ryan Brockoff, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
G'day, it's Jimmy. Yep, look, if you're like me, you're sick of hearing your favorite podcast being broken up by ads for ticketing sites that are all in US dollars and cost an arm and a leg once you convert the prices and stuff. But that's what makes USSportsTickets.com so good, because yes, there's a ripper Aussie site that specializes in sorting you out with tickets to all sorts of US sports called USSportsTickets.com. And they do exactly what they say on the tin, hook Aussies up with sports tickets. And with the NBA season just tipped off, mate, what are you waiting for? I mean, what could be better? You're planning a holiday to the US, and you figure, right, what's the best way for me to get tickets to the game I want to go to? I'm going to go to an NBA game. Maybe I'll go to an NFL game. Doesn't matter. Answer's pretty obvious, mate. USSportsTickets.com. Also, you know what I hate about podcasts that spell out the URL? Literally everything, because it's always weird. I can trust you to get USSportsTickets.com right. Right? I trust you. Come on, mate. Don't let me down. Anyway, the best bit is, look, there's a couple of them. First off, tickets to all the US major sports. That's awesome. Second, they're Aussie owned and operated, and their customer service is unreal and 24/7. So if you've got any problems, they'll sort you out quick, smart. Third, it's easy as to use, and it comes in Aussie dollars, which is awesome, because fourth, that means now you don't have to do maths when you're planning a trip to the States and want to buy NBA tickets. I don't know about you, but I hate maths. Anyway, the fifth good thing, it involves maths, weirdly enough. Enter the code STRAYA when you check out. They'll sling you 5% off. How good is that? Yeah, so go support the legends who support us. Get around USSportsTickets.com. Go buy your tickets. Go see King Dally or Jingles or Big Simo, some of the other Aussie legends in the NBA in person. Smash a 10 or 20. Get 5% off with the code STRAYA, and away you go. USSportsTickets.com. Get around it.
Knife. That's a knife.
All right. Yes, the NBA Australia Proof Performance of the Night. That's not a knife. This is a knife. Oh, there's a couple of them. What do you reckon? Kyrie comes out with the biggest Nets debut ever. Most for a season opener as well. He's got all the records. That three hit with 1 minute 12 left was huge. 50 points, 17 of 33 shooting, 7 of 14 from downtown. Zero turnovers, 7 assists, 8 rebounds, but he lost the fucking game to big Karl Anthony Towns. He throws up a 36, 14, 3, 3, and 3, and hits 7 threes of his own at a better clip than bloody Kyrie, and answered that 3 that Kyrie hit at 1:10 left. Absolutely remarkable. Cat, huge game. That was unreal. But of course, Wigo did take over down the stretch as opposed to Cat, so I don't know. But Duckman, Luke Kennard, and he had 30, and Andre Drummond, the 32, 23, and 4 block line is crazy. Donovan fucking Mitchell went out and won that game for the Jazz as well. That was a performance and a half. 12 points in the fourth quarter, hit the mid-ranger to seal it. He was absolutely unreal with his 32 points. Beautiful hammer dunk as well. Dame's dunk at the start of that game. Holy moly. That was, pretty good. Holy shit, that was good, though. So, look, a couple of good performances to go through. Larry, that's a girl's name, Markkanen. His 35 and 18 was unreal. Luka Doncic with his 34. Absolute scenes. I really liked Malcolm Brogdon's debut, but they lost that game, so I can't really give it to him. And, look, lots of good stuff. Who do we give it to? I reckon Big Cat, Duckman, and Donovan get that. Nice. There's a lot of really good performances. And on the down low, Luca and Kristaps Porzingis, the old extreme Zinger Burger.
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
Just saying. Real fucking good duo. All right. What else? Old Mate No Mate. How about we get into that one?
Old mate, no mate.
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 Who's got no mates today? Oh, you're going to feel sorry, don't you, for Bradley Beal. Ever get the feeling that he's going to win a lot of old mate, no mates this year until he finally shuts it down and fakes an injury? 19 points, 7 of 25 shooting, 1 of 11 from downtown, 9 assists, only 2 turnovers though. And he was amazing until he got booted. The thing is, like, who the fuck else is going to help him on this team? Isaac Bonga, Ish Smith, Thomas Not Kobe Bryant, and Rui Hachimura, Japanese Jordan, the rookie. are his fellow starters. And coming off the bench, you've got Davis Amish-Patans, Mo Wagner, Jerome Robinson. I mean, Jordan McRae, Clint Chiozza, Greg Matthews. It's not Greg Matthews. Sorry, it's Justin Robinson. Jerome Robinson's the one on the Clippers. Garrison Matthews as well. It's not Greg. You know, I'm sure Garrison Matthews is... tidy little off spinners are pretty good too. Admiral Schofield, he had 16 minutes, 0-3. Just wow. This Wizards team, old mate, no mates. Beal's just out there doing it by himself. So that's tough scenes. Tough scenes. And he got fucking tossed for waving. And then did a very cool thing where he shook everybody's hand as he went off. You know, Brad Beal, I'm on board. Dude's shoulders are going to be hurt from carrying this horrible fucking team, I'll tell you that. What about Spud of the Night? Ooh, got a couple here.
Spud, 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 it is Spud of the Night.
Spud of the Night. Bogdan Bogdanovic over there with 1 of 10 shooting. Oh, Jesus. 1 of 9 from Stephen Adams and Dennis Schroeder. I'm German. But come on, man. Mike Conley going 1 of 16. He's literally never going to do anything like that. You just have to wonder how he actually went so badly. It's remarkable. Mike Conley's not bad at basketball. That is a huge, huge, hugely horrible debut. But still, he was 0 of 12 as well. And I love, like, you, if you listen to this show regularly, you know that I love, like, when someone gets to, like, 0 of 8. And they just go, fuck it. 0 of 12, here I come. It's like, I don't have it tonight. I'm 0 of 8. I'm just going to start, you know, make sure I just pass the ball. I'll just stop here. Nope, 0 of 12. And then he keeps going. 1 of 16. Absolutely amazing. Took him almost a full three quarters to even get that first one. So, yeesh. Absolutely brutal. But anyway, you get that on the big jobs. Mike Conley, still love him, but that's some spud-worthy stuff. How about Myers Leonard there as well? Do you reckon Portland's missing his rig and those 0 points, 4 fouls in 19 minutes? Ah, Myers, never forget. Pantsing of the Night, Derek Jones Jr. over Jonas, my name is Jonas Valanciunas. That was a dunk and a fucking half. Valanciunas tried to duck out of the way, but he was just too late because Derek was that fucking quick. That was crazy. And pantsing of the night, just in general, how about the Bulls? That horrible D, letting the Hornets shoot 50%. I still reckon, I tweeted this out already, just based on that alone, they should fire Jim Boylan. I know we don't talk about another man's job, but also fire Jim Boylan? Holy shit. If you are so underprepared after an entire offseason, when you have basically a full strength fucking team, you've got new dudes that you've signed. You've got young up-and-coming dudes. You've got no excuses. You go into a season opener against what is wildly considered one of the worst NBA teams in living memory. Let them shoot 50% and you're beaten by Devontae fucking Graham? Are you fucking kidding me, Chicago? Jesus. Jim Boylan got pants and a half. And also Kyrie Irving, just realizing that the world was round on that last possession of that Wolves-Nets game and falling over and then almost hitting the shot incredibly, but still. Kyrie, mate, you pantsed yourself. All right, better than Lonzo Ball.
Lonzo was the best player in high school. He was the best player in college. You think you'll get to the pros and be like, I made it to the pros, now I can be average. We're coming for everybody.
We're coming for every, just everybody. Apparently, Big Baller Brand are restructuring, air quotes. does everyone get their money back for their shit shoes? Anyway, better than Lonzo Ball for today. That's a girl's name, Larry Markkanen. 35 points, 17 rebounds, 1 of 7 from downtown. Now, that's a bit more Lonzo. Missed a couple of free throws late as well, but 8 of 10 overall. That's better than Lonzo's ever shot in a game. 13 of 25 from the floor. Absolutely remarkable scenes from Lowry. But still, you've got a long list of dudes who are better than Lonzo Ball. Because remember, Lonzo Ball's first game, he had 3 points on 1 of 6 shooting. So today, Kobe White, 17 and 7. PJ Washington had 27 on debut. 9 of 17 shooting. 7 of 11 from deep. RJ Barrett, 19-year-old. Youngest player in NBA history to score more than 20 points in his first NBA career game. Beating LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Pretty bloody good. 21 points. 9 rebounds on your RJ. Just a lot of options there for better than Lonzo Ball today. Take them all. Because, yep, all better than Lonzo's debut game. So, smoked it. Noish. All right, we'll be back in a second with the NR right after this.
Hey, this is Isaac Humphries, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Yeah, nah, I'm going to take a bunch of NBA storylines and decide whether they're more yeah or more nah. Number one, should I have cans before I do shows? Yesterday was one of my favorite shows I think I've ever done. A couple of cans, smoked it. It was great fun. Now I'm just hyped on coffee. Anyway, actual number one, has Blake Griffin been holding the Duckman, Luke Kennard? Quack, quack. Yeah, nah. Has he been holding him back? Yeah, nah. I mean, maybe, yeah. Kennard going off at 30 was one of probably the least likely things I had in my slate today. No Blake. I'm like, all right, Indy don't have Victor, but they'll just smoke Detroit. Nah, Luke Kennard said, not today. Not fucking today. I am the Duck Man. I will stop you from kicking my Detroit Pistons ass. Unbelievable. Anyway, this one coming from PDX Pete. Will Matisse Thybulle make an all-defensive team this year? Woo! Yeah, nah. Oh, nah, but still. Jesus, he's good at times, isn't he? If he can actually play a little bit better offensively, it's just so like he can stay on the floor a bit longer. Maybe. But yeah, next year, shit, he'll be right there. But Matisse Thybulle is a problem. This one also came in from my buddy Boston Pat. Is Time Lord Bob Williams III the answer in Boston? Yeah, nah. I mean, nah, not if the question is how do you stop Philly. But still, not yet. He'll be good if he can wake up on time a lot of the times. But he does give them a lot more athleticism and they just desperately need that, don't they? Jesus. Enes the Penis Cancer versus Joel Embiid and Al Horford is just unfair. Bob Williams, Grant Williams, every other dude named Williams apparently in the Boston Tri-State area, who knows? But yeah. Look, he might eventually be an answer. He's just not right now. Next up, did Orlando get a steal by getting Markelle Fultz for basically fucking nothing? Yeah, nah. Oh. I mean, kind of, yeah. Also, nah, but yeah. Like, they've had to wait for the guy to figure his shit out. So that's like the nah. But even then, he was more than serviceable today. And that's a win. Therefore, it's probably a steal for getting a former number one pick with that sort of athleticism. For nada, for zilch, zero. Jesus. Good job, Orlando. Who would have thunk it? But come on, Markel. Keep proving it. Next up, have Sacramento been overhyped? Another part of this might be, did we overrate Luke Walton as a coach taking over Sacramento and not really think about that too much? The answer to that might be, Look, Buddy got paid and he was the one who only fucking did anything today. That was disheartening if you're like me and you were 100% on board the Sacramento bandwagon. After one game, I feel like the wild, wild, wild reaction, which should be a segment today, I just don't have time, really ought to be like, oh shit, will Sacramento now win over 35 games? Whereas I had them probably about 44 and scraping into the playoffs. I don't know, man. You got to remember the West is pretty tough. And if they're going to put in a showing like that against fucking Phoenix, man, it's going to be a lot harder when they have to like go up against the Clippers, let alone like the Warriors and co, right? The team's more on their level. Pretty weird. Speaking of the West, was everyone but me underrating Dallas? Yeah, nah, fuck yes, mate. How good was that Luka and Supercharged Zinger?
Supercharged Zinger Burger.
Loved it. They looked amazing. It looked actually almost as good as those Zinger Burgers in the commercials where, you know, they've been sprayed with like a whole bunch of weird shit to make them all shiny and stuff. Nice. All right, what about the unpopular opinion of the day?
Now look at me, please. Look at me.
Look at me. Yeah, I know it's only one game, but really, the Bulls should be looking at Jim Boylan going, mate, what the fuck was that? I mean, one game. Is Jim Boylan on the hot seat? I'd say fuck yes. If he's that shit... After an offseason, he's the coach now, and then they lose to fucking Charlotte in game one? Whoa, nutty. I'd fire his ass right now. I never liked that fucking guy anyway. Anyway, Outback Takehouse. It's Thursday at Outback. And you know what that means. Bloomin' onions are 2-for-1. Of course, nobody bugger back in Australia knows what the fuck a bloomin' onion is. All we do is chop up some onion and throw it on the barbie. These fucking lunatics fucking deep fry it, spread it out, looks like a fucking flower. Never heard of me fucking life. Only at Outback. And it goes great as a side for today's Flame Grill Take. And today's special Flame Grill Take is Luka Doncic will be the first man to win Most Improved Player and Most Valuable Player in the same year this year. Mark me bloody words. Only at Outback. I mean, the Most Improved Player, I feel pretty good about the sneaky bet I may have put on DeJounte Murray, just saying. But Luka's still at 23-1. It's pretty tasty. I'm gonna look at his MVP odds as well. All right, we'll be back in a second with Australian Player Watch and Kiwi Corner, Paddy Mills Game Day, Bowler Game Day, and the game previews right after, let's say, this one.
This is Mitch Creek, and you're listening to NBA Australia.
All right. Australian Player Watch, what do you reckon? Well, we have big semi Ben Simmons against Boston today. As mentioned earlier, 24 points, 9 assists, 8 rebounds, 11 of 16 shooting. He was everywhere doing lots of good stuff. That was awesome. On the flip side, Jonah Bolden, son of Bruce, didn't dress. Maybe he's out there working on his game some more. That's what you get for bouncing on the Boomers last minute because you're upset that Nick Kay's playing over you there, Jonah. But yeah, I mentioned it yesterday with the Irishman Kylo Quinn out there, as well as Mike Scott. There's not a giant amount of room for the old Jonah. And yeah, I'd be worried if I was him. Jingling Joe Ingles off the bench today. 33 minutes, 7 points, 3 of 8 shooting, 1 of 4 from downtown, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, but was a plus 8. Crushed it. And Dante Exum, Kangaroo Kobe, didn't dress because he's rehabbing his knee still. And he should also be looking at Manny Moutier putting in a pretty good performance today and going, God damn. Shit. King Daly of Maribyrnong, first of his name, Smasher of Tins, King of Canada as well. 18 minutes today, 5 points, 2 of 6 shooting, 0 of 4 from downtown. 3 assists, 1 rebound, 1 steal in the Cavs' loss to Orlando. Paddy Thrills, Paddy Mills in the win over the Knicks. 8 points, 3 of 11 shooting.
Ouch!
2 of 6 from 3, though, for the Bowler. 2 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and 2 turnovers. A lot of 2. Chew for chew, 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 chew. 16 minutes as well on your Paddy. Didn't really have the shot cooking today, but did a lot of extra stuff, so it was really fun. Kung Fu Thon, 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 played 16 minutes for the Detroit Basketball Pistons. 4 points, 1 of 4 shooting, 0 of 3 from downtown, 2 rebounds, 1 block. And this is the thing when it comes to Thon, man. If he doesn't get that 3-point shot clicking, and soon, I'm pretty worried about his long-term sort of future too. Aaron Bangers Baines leading the Suns to a huge win over the Sacramento Kings. As mentioned, Phoenix 1-0 since trading for Aaron Bangers Baines. 2-3 from the floor, 1-1 from downtown. He is leading the NBA in 3-point percentage right now at 100. 5 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist, 2 turnovers for Big Bangers. And Ryan, Rowdy Brokov, didn't dress today for the Mavs. And I feel like that'll change very, very quickly once Rick Carlisle realizes how bad the rest of that Dallas roster is at knocking down threes. Check it out. All right, Kiwi Corner, Steven Adams today, 1 of 10, literally his worst shooting game ever. Went 1 of 9 versus the Grizz in 2016, but 1 of 10 is the worst he's ever done. So that's a rough one for the big Kiwi, our Antipodean. What is it? Water fucking guy. Yeah, that checks out. Aquaman, fucking hell. Good stuff. Needs more coffee. What do you reckon? Good stuff. All right, let's do the Paddy Mills Game Day Baller Game Day Twitter check-in, shall we? It was a pretty good one, actually, for today from Paddy. Retweeting the Spurs. And it was pretty funny. I'll tell you what. Patrick, Sammy, James Mills tweeted out a video from the Spurs where he basically went up and had an entire length of the floor to go. He said, well, this is deflating. I legit thought I jumped high enough to dunk this. Clearly, not even close. Smack my head emoji. Pretty great, but he also did bring back the game day baller. Game day, hashtag versus New York Knicks, hashtag go Spurs go. I'm pretty happy with that because it is the game day baller game day Twitter check-in. Thanks, Patty. Thanks for coming back. All right, let's do the game previews for tomorrow. Got a couple of good ones too. Let's do it.
Game previews. Game previews.
And picks. So to quickly recap the picks from yesterday, we went 6 of 11. So we hit on Orlando, Miami, Philly, Washington, Spurs, Phoenix, and Denver. We missed out on Brooklyn, Utah, Detroit, Chicago, and Minnesota. So that leaves us at 6 of 14 for the year so far against the spread, which isn't too bad, I'd say. Tomorrow we do have the four final teams who haven't played yet making their season debuts. And let's bring up their odds and have a little bit of a pick and preview about it. But we do have, as mentioned, a couple of good ones. I'm pretty psyched, actually, about Atlanta. I just want to watch Atlanta play. Pistons are currently half a point favorites. So basically, it's a pick 'em in a, you know, do you think the Pistons or the Hawks will win? I like the Hawks a lot, minus 0.5. So give me the Hawks there. Thank you very much. I think the Pistons on a back-to-back. Luke Kennard, Andre Drummond going absolutely crazy. The Hawks come out and just run them off their floor. Yeah. Then we've got the Milwaukee Bucks and Houston Rockets making their season debuts. We got the reigning MVP and two other MVPs, former MVPs, and James Fast, Jimmy Harden, and Rusty Westbrook. The Bucks are two-point underdogs on the road in Houston. And I kind of like Houston here. Look, I tend to think that Milwaukee, just because the Rockets don't really have that much of a answer for Giannis Antetokounmpo. But I feel like the Bucks on the flip side, maybe Bledsoe, maybe George Hill. Fuck it. I'm going the Bucks plus two. I just convinced myself to completely change. Yeah, that checks out. Look, Harden, Rusty, I think we're going to see some fireworks. I think it'll be really fun. But no one on the Rockets can slow down Giannis and Chris Middleton and, you know, Bledsoe, Hill and co. and the Lopi. So give me the Bucks plus two. I'm just really worried about the Rockets wing rotation. Because, you know, it's basically non-existent. So I'll take the Bucks plus two. And then finally, we have the Los Angeles Clippers at the Golden State Warriors, your reigning Western Conference champions, don't forget. And the Clippers are two-point favorites, and I will take that. Thank you very much. You may have noticed I'm a bit down on Golden State this year. I think Steph might be a bit of a shot to win the scoring title, but I don't really like their odds to make even the playoffs. Unless Clay does come back earlier than expected, and then, fuck, all bets are off. But at the moment, give me the Clippers over the Warriors. The Clippers are just hell deep, and the Warriors are starting Glenn Robinson the third, little big dog, at small forward. So, yeah. Yeah, not great. Give me the Clips minus two. Awesome. Good stuff right there. That's it for today. Unreal. We're back tomorrow with more season debuting in NBA Australia. Bunch of best bets, over-unders, you know, all that good stuff. Lots of usual dumbassery is what I'm trying to say. In the meantime, make sure you've gotten around the NBA Australia Kickstarter. We've got a week to go. So if you haven't gotten a t-shirt and a stubby holder, go do that. $50 will get you sorted out. That's fun stuff. And you get to also do some shit on the show. Some good stuff. Go to kickstarter.com, search NBA Australia, or just click on the links through our Facey, Twitter, Instagram. Go get a t-shirt, would ya? Come on. Also, make sure you're following NBA Australia on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. We're all over the socials on the weekends. You know that. Get around NBAAustralia.com. If you're going to go buy some shit from Amazon, click on the big Amazon button at NBAAustralia.com and they'll kick us a shekel or two on the back end. And make sure you have already rated and reviewed NBA Australia on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, whatever app you use on your Android phone, Spotify, Stitcher, literally every podcast app. NBA Australia, isn't it? If you can rate and review, please do. It helps us out heaps. You know, it really does, actually. Anyway, big thanks to From Oslo for the intro and outro song. Go check out their new band, House Hats. Their debut, I'm running out of time, is out now, and it's awesome. Also, big thanks to Fascinator, Ramshackle Army, Iowa, Sex Jedi, Green, and Dozers for all the tunes you hear throughout NBA Australia. Give them a smash on Bandcamp, Facey, buy their shit. Remember, NBA Australia supports Australian bands. All right, we're going to close out with a brand new Diary of Stephen Adams, and we will catch you tomorrow, you dickheads. This is NBA Australia saying, Lederhosen! Oh, kia ora, bro. Stephen Adams here, eh? And it's time for me to write in my diary this week, eh? Dear diary,
That's me. Stephen Adams, bro. But you knew that because you're my diary, bro. So, it's been a mental day, eh? We started off the season today, bro. And I played the worst game of my career tonight, bro. So, I'm going to go get myself a can of Dr. Pepper, bro. Stop that little Chris Fowler from bullying my friend Shy. And then punch a fucking hole in the wall, bro. So, that's it for this week. Don't trust myself to not John Hopper-Wardy someone, eh? Cheer, cheer. Love, Stephen Adams, bro.